It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Thank you for another nice day, and power to the people. I'm sure you probably thinking, what connections does that have to do with today's show? Well, it's about power to the people, but it's about voting. We're going to be discussing a little voting here, and not who you vote for, but why you vote and what have you, and what's the process. Over the last couple of days, I've been moved to through conversation with people. There are people that I know that are haven't voted in their entire life, and there's some that are 60, 50, 40, and some that are voting age and have never, ever registered to vote. Is it their fault, or is it the system not reaching out? So we hear about gerrymandering and changing the maps and doing those things, a recent case in Texas. But that's the more sinister part of it that is more overt and obvious. But are there other little subtle behaviors that exist here amongst us that could improve participation in the voting process? And I've also invited Marsha Joyner to speak with me on the subject, as well as that Glenn Takahashi is going to be calling in from the city clerk's office regarding voting and the process. And hopefully, I've got my fingers crossed, the state elections office, I called them 3 or 4 times and never received a call back, but spoke to them personally. So anyway, we'll hold our tongue until the show is in. Maybe they're going to call and surprise us. So good morning, Marsha. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Gorgeous morning.
Yeah. You've been here a long time, and you've participated in the voting process, and I think you're a registrar at one time.
Yes.
So what the basic information that you could share with people, how do they vote, where do they vote, and how they first, do they have to register, or what's the process?
Okay, yes, you do have to register to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really very simple. You don't need a registrar. If you have a computer, you can go to the city and county website or the state. Or if you go to Google, just put register to vote Hawaii, and all kind of things will come up. And the WikiWiki form online, it is at your library, at the banks. And it used to be in the Yellow Pages, but since I don't have a landline, I don't get Yellow Pages, so I don't know if it's there. It is easy to do. You fill it in and mail it. Or you can hand carry it to the city and county or Satellite City Hall. Oh, yes, Satellite City Hall has the WikiWiki forms.
Mm-hmm.
And the deadline for mailing is October 8th. And if you carry it in by hand, it's October 30. You must be 18 years of age or over. And if you're 16 and a senior in high school, you can pre-register so that when your birthday comes, you will be automatically registered to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So we really ask you to do that. It's really simple. It doesn't cost anything. You don't need a picture ID to register. And you don't have to get caught up in all of the hoopla and ugliness that you hear on the television and whatnot.
So clearly...
But you asked me, let me step back here. If people are asking why he asked her to come on. I am 74 years old. I was born into America's Jim Crow. And trust me, it was all over America. It wasn't just the South. And I came of age in the Civil Rights Movement. I started registering people to vote in 1959, 1960. Like Carol, we know firsthand what it's like when the power structure does everything to keep you from voting, and we watched people die for the right mm-hmm. to vote. So this isn't just every 4 years we step up to the plate to register to vote. This is an everyday thing. It is real. There are consequences for not voting, and if you think that there aren't, just look around at the people all over the world that are in oppressive governments, because they don't have the right to vote. So if you don't vote, you give up your right, and then somebody else's vote counts.
Mm-hmm. So what if a person can't get it online and they can go to the library, is there and also the city clerk's office, is there any other way?
Satellite City Hall.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's a WikiWiki form. It's printed for me, I'm happy to say. It's printed in big letters, easy to read, you know, and in different languages.
Mm-hmm. Now, citizenship, you have to be a citizen of the United States?
Yes.
And of the state to participate in the local?
Yeah, it doesn't ask for... how long you've been here.
Mm-hmm.
I seem to remember, oh gosh, 20 or so years ago, that came up about what constitutes a resident. And I think it's your intent to be a resident of Hawaii, and you are not voting in any other state.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, you can't vote in here and in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a federal offense.
Mm-hmm. So with voting here, we see quite often after the voting session is over, we hear things like there was low voter turnout. There was the participation in voting is low, 38%. So my question is, is it just the people? Is it that they're simply apathetic? or just simply not, there's no real outreach in the recruitment and encouraging people to vote? Which one would you say, or do they both have equal?
I would think all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that don't know, Carol and I both in elementary school were taught civics, even though it was the whole United States was segregated, the military was segregated, you couldn't get federal jobs. But we were taught civics. And in teaching civics, you teach little children, the importance of this voting process and what it means. And so when you grow up with that, as you know, with little children, if you'll remember when we taught them to save the whales, or we taught them to save the green sea turtles, or recycle cans, boy, little children are on it. So when you teach little children in school the importance of civics, then you have a whole generation of people that grow up understanding, knowing, feeling the need to participate in the government. Well, I don't know when it happened, but they took civics out of the schools. And so now you have an electorate that really doesn't understand the importance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hold on.
That's number one, huh?
Let's see here. If this is Glenn, let me answer this. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
No, it's not Glenn. I just have one quick question on registering online or by mail. What proof is required, say you register online, that you are eligible to vote, that you're a citizen, and on? I'll go off the air and listen. Thank you.
Did you get that?
Yes. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Go ahead. Just talk. If we can't, we'll let you know.
Okay. On the affidavit, it says, I hereby swear or affirm that the following information is true and correct. So they have to go on, this is who you say you are, and this is your information. And, of course, today, in the computer age, it's really easy for people to check to make sure that you are who you are. Mm-hmm. But it does, you are the person. Mm-hmm. And it is a federal offense if you fill this thing out and you have not come. I meant that you put in something erroneous.
Well, we don't want to. I'm not interested in letting people.
Question.
Yeah, no. But as far as if someone genuinely want to participate in the voting process, that's fine. And if they want to go to jail, then that's a different horse of a different herd.
But it just asks you. It just says, I hereby swear. So that's, mm-hmm. that's up to you.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, if I was sitting at home and didn't know civics and anything, and I hear, you could get arrested. I'm just looking for the simplest process. So those that are out there
it is a very simple process.
Right.
It has been refined and refined and refined over the years to reach as many people mm-hmm. as possible. For people that don't see a need to vote, perhaps we, not you and me, but the powers that be, the candidates, quite frankly, if you look at all the nastiness and the lies in the campaigns, you think, I don't want any of these people. I don't like that. However, by not voting, you allow that nastiness to continue, that by not participating.
Mm-hmm.
I remember years and years ago, I called very naively to a senator and asked a question, and he said, just a minute, I'll be right back. And then he came back and said, you didn't vote for me. They had checked.
And that is actually not consistent with the rules. Hold on one second. Let's see here. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. Listen, I want everybody to know, too, that one of the most disenfranchised bunch of people are the folks that are homeless. But believe it or not, even that you can do. My address is in Waipahu. My heart is in Kailua, and that's where we lived for many years, and that's where I keep my district. And I live in Kaka'ako. So, but believe it or not, you can actually do it like that. You're totally legal. So, but see, that's another way. When you're just so disenfranchised, I mean, if you don't even have an address, you know, it really becomes a problem.
So the person, okay.
But, and of course, a lot of homeless folks, they don't even stay in the same community all the time, and they're like refugees. They're always moving around and or nomads, you know. So that way they can go to from. I mean, they're still. They can pick their district too, you know, whatever you wish to pick, you know.
Okay.
And but you can have an address in another district, you know.
All right.
So anyway, I just let you folks know that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Aloha.
Yes. That is an area, and I want you, when the experts call in, I want you to ask them the details of that. But I do know that there was a huge movement several years ago to be sure that homeless people could vote, homeless children could go to school in the right district. There was a huge movement to be sure that these people were, in fact, taken care of. So, yes, he's right. And when Glenn calls in, be sure to ask him the details of how that works. But I do know that the caller is right.
How efficient is it, though? I mean, they worked on it.
I don't know. That's what you have to ask Glenn.
Okay, because I don't. And the caller, you talk about the homeless in general. Are you familiar with homeless participation? Do many of the homeless people that you know participate in voting?
No. I that's what you'll have to ask. I don't know. Yeah. I do know that there was this push to get them registered to make sure that they are taken care of. Mm-hmm. And let me add not only to the homeless, but to the handicapped. There was a real major move to be sure that handicapped people are registered, that they can mail in the ballot if they cannot physically get there. If they physically can come to vote, there's all kind of help to get them.
I could testify to that, too. Well, when I was handicapped in my car, I could go right up to the handicapped stall at the school and I can call them, and they would actually come out to the car, and they'd hand you the ballot, and they'd let you mark it all out. They'd bring a clipboard and everything like that, and then even from the wheelchair, it's wonderful because you can just go right into the. I mean, they have a special booth just for the or at wheelchair level too. So, and they're very helpful at that.
So is it for you? Are you familiar with others? Are they impeded their access to the voting process? The homeless or the handicapped? But in this process, is it Dave?
Yeah. I've seen other folks do the same thing too. So you know, I mean. You know, here in Hawaii, I think we've gone more all out than a lot of places for everybody like that. Because we're not having these things that are happening in some of these other states.
Right.
Where they're trying to get you.
Okay, well, hold on, guys. I got Glenn. I think.
Oh, good.
Hold
on. Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you, caller.
Sure.
He'll have to call back. But, yeah, Marsha, we'll ask him some of these questions. And Glenn is Takahashi. And I don't know the relevance as far as I know city government will probably be the process.
Well, let me tell you that there is a state elections commission which appoints the head of the election. However, every county... The city clerk in every county is responsible for the voting in that county, and it but it works hand in hand with the state. So there should be no difference in what Glenn tells you and what the state people tell you. There should be no difference.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, I missed that portion about, don't you have to have an address to be able to register to vote?
Would you like to contribute to the conversation, or are we with Ron Rocks? What?
No.
Okay.
That's my question.
Well, let's. If you would do me one kind favor, just one time in the existence of this show, can you call up and offer some?
Say again.
Offer some, something of substance. I mean, go ahead and ask a question, but you didn't hear what?
No, about isn't it required to have an address to be able to vote?
Well, yeah, she's. If you don't, you can have a post office box. I don't know. That's the question we'll ask the official.
When you vote, you vote in the district. So,
well, let me ask you this: What's your knowledge of this?
Can I answer that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Now, that's what Glenn is going to explain, because there is a provision for homeless people. So, Glenn, that's beyond my pay grade. Glenn will have to answer that question. I just know that there was this major push to be sure that homeless people were able to participate in the government.
Ed, what is your knowledge of this? Is it just a genuine question?
My question is, in the case of homeless people,
right.
Now, you normally vote for people in your district, whether you're city council or representative or senate. Now, homeless people, they move. Now, at the moment they register, is that their home of record? So they're voting for, say, the homeless in Ever Beach, they're voting for Kimberly Pine, and then next week they moved out of Ever Beach and they moved to Waianae. How is this reconciled? That is my question. Thank you.
Well,
I have to defer to Glenn on that one.
Well, I would assume that if first of all, the have to be checked, and you have to, if you're going to either vote by mail or absentee ballot, you would have received it at some address. And nonetheless, it would be up to the person. I didn't understand if you vote for Kimberly Pine and then move. Obviously, if you voted, you probably did it the right way, or else they wouldn't allow you to vote. And if they found out, so I don't know. The question is kind of
well. The question is The question, as I hear it, is each ballot has in your district. Your congressional district, there's only two congressional districts in the state of Hawaii, CD1 and CD2.
Mm-hmm.
And so that ballot, based on your address, would be congressional district 1, senatorial district for me, senatorial district 9, and house district 18, city council district 4. So the ballot I get would have just those candidates on it. So what he is saying is that if you are constantly on the move, what ballot would you get? And that ballot would be based on the information you put on your application. So if you are in Ever Beach, and that would be a CD2, and City Council District 1, then that's the ballot you would get.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have Tom Berg and Kimberly Pine and Maisie Hirono and Linda Lingle and on down the line. Tulsi Gabbard and whatnot. So that's what he's saying. If they're constantly on the move, how do you know what ballot to get? The ballot would be based on the information that they submitted when they registered.
Hold on 1 second here. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. This is Dave again. And The way it is, technically, I think you do need an address, but
okay.
That's like your mailing address.
Hold your thoughts for a minute.
Yeah.
Good morning, Carl. You have a comment or question?
Good morning. Is this Carol?
Yes, good morning. Is this
Carol?
Glenn?
Glenn Takashi with the City Clerk's Elections Division.
Yeah, Glenn, thank you. How are you? So we
good. And yourself?
Good. I appreciate you calling in because stumbling here with some of the answers, and that's why it's always good to go to an expert. And could you just introduce yourself to some of the listeners? And basically, we're on one question was, what if a person is the homeless? How we're in the midst of that. How does the homeless vote, or how can you show them share them the way?
Sure. Well, firstly, I'm Glenn Takashi with the City Clerk's Elections Division. And if I got you, the question was, how does the homeless person register to vote or vote? The homeless person is a little bit unique because their residence can change fairly often, but they should register based upon where they sleep at night, the location at which they, would commonly return to or sleep at night. And, again, we know that that will change often. But at that particular moment, they should declare that on their voter registration form. Usually, because they don't have a house number or a street name, a type of address, we ask them that they just describe where they live, whether it's across street or at a particular park or whatnot. And that'll get them registered, and they can vote. What we recommend is voting at the early walk-in voting sites if they're able to make their way down. If not, certainly they can vote at the polling site. They do have to have a place where they receive their mail because we inform voters of their polling place by mail via the voter notification postcard. So that's the way that they would find out where they actually vote on election day. But if not, they can certainly call our office, and we can tell them verbally where their polling place is as well.
Mm-hmm. What is that number? You have it offhand.
Sure. Our office number is 768-3800, and that's for all inquiries, voter information inquiries relating to voter registration, absentee voting.
Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about identification. When a person is voting, what do they need to bring to the...
Sure. They need to bring some form of an ID. We recommend it because it makes it a whole lot easier for the precinct officials to process them through. Either a driver's license, state ID, some type of government document with their name and address on it. And we'll go from there. If they don't have the ID, we'll work with them to try to, ascertain that their identity and whatnot, and we'll go get them to vote. So.
Now, some of the satellite stations, I recall a while back, were shut down for a while. Did that have any impact, or has that been addressed?
I'm not familiar. Sorry, Carol. I'm not familiar with the satellite stations and their shutting down or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I'm just not responsible for those operations. Oh. But, voter registration and voting, that can occur by mail. So, I'm not so certain that the satellites are really needed, although, people can pick up forms there.
Mm-hmm.
They can also pick up application forms, voter registration forms at post offices and libraries as well, too. Mm-hmm. So.
And annually, take, for example, this last voting. Do you recall what was the turnout as far as voter participation?
I think the primary election voter participation was something close to like 45%. It was a little bit on the lower side. For a primary election.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I seem to recall, and I'm sorry I don't have that number right in front of me.
No problem. But a person voting and registered to vote, how about an individual, what is the last date a person can vote and register to vote in this upcoming election? And
sure.
Did they have
yeah,
to vote... in the early elections to participate in the one.
Sure, yeah, there is a voter registration deadline, and that for the upcoming general election, the voter registration deadline is October 8th. So it is a few weeks away anyway, so people still have time to register to vote or update their voter registration address if they're already registered to vote.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And 18 is the voting age?
18 is the voting age. If the person is younger than 18, at least 16 years old, they can pre-register to vote. And what will happen is we will get their information and activate their voter registration on their 18th birthday.
And then each, for all parties, it's the same voting date, same registration. There's no confusion out
yes,
there.
This is for all citizens. There's no separate registration dates for parties or whatnot. We don't require that voters declare a political party when they register to vote.
Mm-hmm.
It's other states may do that, but we don't do that here in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So the voter registration is, again, October 8th.
And do you think it's beneficial, let's say, for absentee ballots? Is there a benefit to the homeless, or is there a hindrance?
Well, certainly for absentee voting, you're going to need an address that you can receive mail. So if
mm-hmm.
that's more convenient, we tell people to do what they feel comfortable with. And,
mm-hmm.
and if that process works for them, by all means, utilize it. On Oahu, anyway, we have, of all the votes cast, we have about 48% of the votes being cast early, before the election, either via the absentee mail process or the early vote walk-in process. So it's nearing 50% where half of the votes are really cast before election day.
Mm-hmm. I see. What critical points would you stress here today? With, I don't know what they would be, but is there anything that, and a person that's not informed like myself, that you could offer out there?
Well, first and foremost is the voter registration deadline. If you're not registered, you have to be registered to vote in order to participate in the elections. That's one of those deadlines that if you're not registered, I'm sorry, but there's nothing we can do. The law doesn't allow for an extension of the deadline in extenuating circumstances or anything like that. So you must be registered to vote. The October 8th deadline is one that you really need to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Well, I appreciate, and I don't want to just repeat and all, but I really appreciate you calling in. And I guess that... What is the actual voting date again?
November 6th.
November 6th, and that's for everything.
That's for the general election. You'll see presidential, vice president. You'll see, congressional races, U.S. Senate races, state house, state senate, council races,
mm-hmm.
the like. Yeah,
we yesterday, when we talked the other day, we made sure that we would agree that we won't talk politics. But
sure.
I just had some person to ask, does this agency favor one party over the other? So if you could speak to that and without me defending that issue.
Of course not, yeah. I mean, as election offices, we are nonpartisan. We do not favor any particular party or the other. And as I mentioned earlier, Carol, we don't even request that a person declare their political party when they register to vote. So we really have no way of knowing whether the registrant is leans one way or the other. So.
Mm-hmm. And your vote is, just quickly, is secret. There's secrecy in the vote. No one has the right to look at how you voted or question.
Certainly. I mean, any person, by law, any person can get assistance from whoever they choose. I mean, if you want your kids or your parents to assist you with voting, that's fine. If you want to share, your ballot and whatever with them. Some people actually do require assistance and mm-hmm. with the process of voting.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, you also have a right to a secret ballot, which means that when you go to the polls, you're given a secrecy sleeve for your ballot and you're given a private booth to vote in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
yeah.
One thing I was reading, it says, and if you have any information on this, I was just quite curious, that anyone can challenge a person at the voting polls. Is that...
Certainly.
What is that about?
Yeah, there is a voter challenge process
mm-hmm.
under law. And what that is if you show up on election day and you see a person that you feel, and the person also has to be there at the polling site as well, that you feel is not a resident of that polling area and should not be voting. Yes, there is a voter challenge process that one voter can... bring up against another.
Just curious, have you ever witnessed that, or has it ever?
It is a very rare occurrence.
Okay.
If at all, we might see one or two in any given election cycle. But it is a fairly rare occurrence. Most people I think they go to the voting site and they just want to get their business done with and move on with the rest of their activities,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Let me just see the lines light up just in, for one more question if, in case. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question? Hello? You there?
Hello?
Yes. You have a comment, a question. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I do. We vote absentee ballot.
Mm-hmm.
I think Marcia knows who I am. I'm 81 years old, and my mind is sound. But let's say my mind becomes less sound as time goes on, and I need help by a child. Now, that child, and I think this is the weakness in the absentee ballot system, that child can help influence who I vote for. And there are a lot of old people in this state, many old people. Many of us have lost our mind. And still we get the absentee ballot. So what prevents fraud in absentee ballots?
Well, I will have to say,
Glenn,
that you have to choose someone that you trust. That's Glenn would have to answer that better than I did. But I think that in choosing someone you trust, and you say this is the candidate I'm interested in, and you have to trust that your relative or friend or whomever is doing what you your wishes. Now, Glenn would have to answer that better than I can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. You know, as election officers, we're not the police, so to speak. We're not going to, and we certainly don't want to interfere with what happens in the privacy of one's own home. But if you think about it, you know, someone providing that type of assistance, the key is getting someone that you trust. That type of influence that you're referring to could occur in an absentee balloting process at home, or it could possibly happen in a voting booth at the polls. I mean, the where is not really of, you know, it doesn't really make that much of a difference. So, again, the key is to get someone that you trust to provide that voter assistance. As,
mm-hmm.
as far as voter assistance goes, there is really only, I believe, one stipulation in getting receiving voter assistance is that it cannot be an agent of your employer or an agent of your union providing that voter assistance. But the voter may choose whoever else they trust to provide that assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Carl.
Comment. I think this is a great weakness in the system when you have the absentee ballot, is family influence at home. Now, I'm 81. If my dad were still alive and he needed help voting, I would be very tempted to have him vote for who I preferred. And I think this is a big weakness of the absentee ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And I always vote, and I always used to go to the poll, but now we do it absentee. And I'm real worried about the absentee ballot due to the security of the voting system at home, because there's all kinds of fraud, as you know, in the voting system.
And what would you propose?
We're talking about thousands of households.
What would you propose for a solution? I mean, you identify the problem. You clearly.
Yeah, I can hardly hear you, unfortunately.
What do you suggest would be the solution?
Well, I think absentee ballots should be for those who are going on trips and have other legitimate purposes for being away. And that I always felt proud going to the poll and voting. And I think it's a mark or a rite of passage. And I tried to encourage my children to go through that rite of passage also, because voting is a wonderful act for a person to perform. And I say this also as a retired school teacher in dealing with people in the public school.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a great weakness in the absentee ballot system in the sanctity of having an honest vote.
Well, I just want to toss out something.
Let me hang up and tune you in, because I can hardly hear you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll tune in. Thank you very much.
Right.
Bye-bye.
This is
Marcia. Can I make one comment?
Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, he is absolutely correct that someone else can influence your vote, but that's what all the commercials are about, is influencing your vote.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what they spend millions of dollars on, commercials to influence your vote.
Right. Well,
so that, however, there is one, I see, one major strength in absentee voting, and that is when there are questions on the ballot, you have time to read it reread it, understand exactly what it is, that, and there are mail pieces that come that explain the questions. Mm-hmm. So you have really time to understand what the question is.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen over the years people go into the ballot, they see all these questions, they mark it, and then years later when something comes into being, they say, well, how did this happen? And
yeah.
you say, well, you voted for
yeah.
it. And they say, but I didn't know.
Well,
so
yeah.
the real, that to me is the real strength and mm-hmm. absentee voting, is that you have time to understand what you're
right.
voting for.
Glenn, I don't want to hold you up here. You go ahead. Any closing comment for you?
No. I think, yes, I think that's always been, just to respond to the caller, I think it's always been a concern about absentee voting, is that very factor. And I think that's why across the 50 states, there's no one universal absentee voting scheme. We tend to see voting by mail more prominent in the western states, you know, there's no excuses absentee voting, whereas on the eastern coast, it tends to be a little bit tighter in terms of providing a reason for voting by mail. That being said, you know, the policy on voting and accessibility, whether it's by mail or whatnot, is really a balance of accessibility versus integrity and in balancing those two tenets. And certainly, if we were to have a policy that locked down voting and the registration process and whatnot very, very tightly, less people would show up than are even showing up now. And so I think the public, the policymakers tended to strike a balance on what mm-hmm. would be appropriate for our community, and certainly that balance can change if they so decide that it's appropriate to be changed.
Yeah.
Anyway,
at the risk of
what it's worth.
At the risk of sounding offensive or making an offensive remark, but going back to the gentleman's questions, what if you've lost your mind? And I'm only responding to that comment. And I would say that if you have lost your mind as describing it, then it's not the government to engage. It would be an assessment and evaluation. Can you make reasonable decisions? And I would say if you can't trust your family with your vote, to vote, how would they know who you want to vote for anyway if you've lost your mind? I'm just offering it out there, and I'm being aired this time. And you've lost your mind. So I don't want the government to say to me, well, now that you've lost your mind or at this point you should not be able to vote. But I would say if you can't trust them with your vote, then you also might want to look at your checking account. So, anyway, that just me being the smart, you know. That's all I have to say on that one. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes, I'm a registered voter, and I'm kind of new at this, but I was wondering, you know, if you live in one district and you're a registered voter, can I vote in another district? Can I do that?
If I may take a stab at that. Yeah, voting is one of those things where you need to be voting out of the area that covers your residence. Everything is based upon your residence address. And so you should be voting out of the place where you live, certainly not your work or a post office box or whatnot. So that's the general rule on as far as where to vote. When you register to vote, we ask for your residence address. It's usually a house number, street name, and we determine the precinct that covers that particular area, and we assign the person to a polling place based upon that.
Oh, so if I live in Pro City, I have a Pro City address. If I want to vote in Ever Beach and they check my ID, I guess they're not going to accept me in voting there.
Well, again, we're going to assign you to vote based upon the place that you claimed as your residence. And we're going to take whatever you put down on the form at face value, unless we get some type of information otherwise that says, you know, that the voter does not live there. So as far as the ID goes, we're just trying to verify your identity with that particular document, because we do realize that people have IDs, but maybe they haven't updated their ID with their most current residence. And people's residences do change very frequently. We're a very transient community in certain areas of Oahu. And so as many as 12% of the voters on Oahu will pick up and move every two years. And so, but the short answer is that yes, you should be voting out of the area that covers your residence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, because you know, in my area, the candidates that's running, they're going unopposed. So it's not going to make any difference, and you know I'm not too pleased with the candidates that's representing my district. I'm more interested in candidates representing another district. You know, in a case like like for example the Tom Berg Kimberly Pine race, basically because you know with the rail issue. So I'm more interested in voting in the Ever Beach area rather than my district. So that's the, one of the reasons I brought that question up. But I really want to, really vote in the Ever Beach area rather than the Pearl City. I'm pretty much going to leave it blank, you know, because I'm not too pleased with the candidates that's representing my district. So, mm-hmm. That's my thought for today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Glenn, this is Marcia, would you speak to the fact that as a result of every 10 years how the precincts and districts change and polling places change, so where you went 4 years ago may not be the same, so can you address that?
Sure. Marcia, after every U.S. census, What goes on is a redistricting process, reapportionment and a redistricting process, where the political district lines are redrawn to balance out the population among the districts, to make sure that each district is fairly equally represented. And so in 2011, both the state and the city and county of Honolulu went through a redistricting process that did just that. And so as a result, a lot of people may see some changes in their polling place compared to 2 years ago. And so, again, we encourage voters to take a look at their yellow voter notification postcard that was mailed out earlier this year, or call our office if they have already thrown that away and don't have it. Because, yes, polling places may have changed.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question, real quick?
Yeah, I have a question for Glenn, actually, too. Glenn, I'm visually impaired, actually blind. And I wanted to know, voter reminder cards, you have it in different languages, but do you have it in Braille where we can request it for in Braille so we can read it? And the second question is, when you go to the polling place, how many machines do you have for the blind to use and how easy it is to use?
Sure. No, the voter notification postcard is not available in Braille. However, I'm glad that, you're able to call us because then I obtain your polling place. Secondly, the accessible voting devices. There is at least one in every polling site. Some of them may have two, and that would allow a blind or visually impaired person to vote independently without assistance. At our early walk-in voting sites, two of our sites on Oahu, the Pali Golf Course site and Kapolei site, feature electronic voting machines exclusively, and at City Hall, I believe our site there has another 8 or 9 machines as well.
And is it easy for a person like me to use?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear that.
Would it be easy for a person to use?
What happens is these voting machines also allow headphones to be plugged in, so that the blind voter, can actually hear what's going on the voting machine as they scroll through the menus. It also allows for what they call some other assistive devices, sip and puff devices, or these pads that allow, physically impaired voters to interact with the device as well. If the knobs or buttons on the machine are too difficult or not usable for them as well, too.
So is there a way that I can, or other people, look at it before, try it out before they go down?
As far as sampling trying out the devices, I'm sorry. I don't know if there's an opportunity for that. The state elections office may have some sample machines, demonstration machines that are available for use as well.
Well, I'll check with them in the state agency Ho'oponopono for the blind and see what
they
can do. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.
Well, Glenn, thank you, and appreciate you calling in. We really do. Hopefully the listeners out there learn a little something.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Kyle. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thank you. And, Marcia, real quick, you have anything?
I thank you for doing this. It's just been a great hour. And, you know, people talk about these little frauds and whatnot, but by and large, in all of my years of working here in the election process, not in the political process, but in the elections process,
mm-hmm.
most of the 9,000 people that it takes to work through the election in the process come both Democrat, Republican, Green Party, Independent Party. They come together to make sure the process works.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not seen any, personally, I've not seen anything that even looks like fraud,
mm-hmm.
because everybody that does volunteer to work wants the system to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only when the system works that we win, whatever party it is.
So the lesson of the day is go register to vote, and if you have any problems, call the city office to start with 768-3800. 768-3800.
And the state is 453-VOTE.
453-VOTE?
Mm-hmm. That's the state elections office.
Well, they better go with the envelope in hand. I don't know. So,
yeah.
Okay.
So, but thank you, Carol. Thank you so much. This has been a great hour.
Well, thank you. And Glenn, thank you again.
Thank you.
All right. Aloha.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, folks, that I don't know if this has been official, but we take a stab at it. I vote through mail. It's convenient. Do I trust it? I don't know. But I participate, and I guess so, therefore, I must trust it. Nothing's 100% fail-proof or fraud-proof, so... the thing is just to get out and vote and try and recruit others to vote. Because what I'm observing here, in this state especially, while in Texas the Supreme Court had ruled that there were issues how they gerrymandered and changed the voting. But here I suspect there's some problems also. The current party, for example, is eager to allow the climate to set the way it is because they benefit. So if you want change, and you want to have influence and impact, you got to get out there and vote, because this is how the Calvin says, who comes from nothing and end up ruling you and ruining you. So if you ever have any questions, and this is how the Neil Abercrombies get in office, because people are not participating. Can't participate, then you're just giving everything up. So talk to you in the next hour. This is the Carol Cox Show. You can get it at carol@carolcox.com is the email, and carolcox.com, carolcox.com. So we'll see you in the next hour.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K101.
let down, don't worry me. I've been down so long. Down, don't worry me. I just sit and wonder, where can my good man be? When it rains in here, it's storming on the sea. When it rains in here, it's storming on the sea. To me.
Hello.
I lose my man. I lose my head. I lose my money. Feel like I'm almost dead. I need you, honey. Need you bad as can be. I've been down so long that down don't worry me.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. We are sitting here just... have to remind myself once in a while I see these little spots on me. Then I don't really know where they're coming from. They're bruises. And actually what it is, I'm finding out it's I have to pinch myself every time to remind myself that I live here in a place that's so beautiful and it's worth... I can't just believe that it happens. So yesterday I was out in Wahiwa up in the mountainous areas. And... man, just think, just beyond the houses lie some of the most beautiful environment there is. There's streams still running and flowing and fish and looking at Oopu and what have you. It's so great. So anyway, but, you know, I got many things to talk about. And I want to, some of you, you know, I brag about... the number of listeners and what have you, and what I would say, some of you might find this offensive, but sometimes when I turn on the TV, you know, I ask myself, and those of you that have predisposed that when an African American man speaks out, he has to navigate this little path whether someone's going to label him as the angry black guy. And knowing that that is out there, that is not an issue that I have. It is not an issue that I have with anyone. But what tends to happen is that I look at TV and I see the participation. You rarely see African Americans having comment, just in general, the participation. It's always pretty much an Anglo-Saxon person sitting there giving political views and spinning what it is that they think. And if you listen, there are individuals who has a job, and they're giving you their opinions from their perspective or from the entity that hired them, that perspective, or the party. And so sometimes a person like myself wonder, why don't we see Asian Americans or Asians just participating in an open discussion when you see the conventions, both Democratic and the Republican? Do you see any Asian people? Do you see any people of brown skins or other color, other than Donna Brazile and maybe Al Sharpton? But do you see on a routine basis that these people are participating? Or does anybody care what we think? So isn't it funny when you see that, and immediately if you start to speak about it, not speak out in an aggressive manner or a fashion, you then have to be very careful that you don't get labeled as the aggressive or the black guy with the chip on the shoulder, when in fact you're just asking, why not me, or asking things. And along in that vein, that same vein, America missed something, and with Clint Eastwood, the big question that Clint Eastwood was standing there talking to the empty chair. And supposedly it was President Barack Obama. But America missed the real point and the real message there, and that is, it should have come as no shock to anyone that Clint Eastwood would talk to an empty chair, because as you see for the last 4 years, the great many of the right-wingers and also Democrats and a great many of blacks that follow that thought along the religious or the Republican stance, and some Democratic people, party members, have always treated the presidential role that Barack Obama holds as an empty chair. So no one should be shocked, and these are my perspective now. These are my views, and they've culminated from numerous instances of watching and not hearing an open speech or an admission that we know that others saw and made declarations that he was going to be a one-time president. He was a black president. He was a Muslim. You saw none of that, and yet we're pretending as if the road is level as we both walk, Romney and Barack Obama. So when you see the angry black guy, you might want to stop back and say, well, maybe it's not he's angry. Maybe he's just taking time to express himself. Or maybe he's just sick and tired of being taken by the nose and led. And as long as we sit there and nod our heads and say that it's okay, I agree with you, and smile and grin with you, it's okay. But generally, people of color didn't really participate in this because they're really not allowed to. And I know a lot of you probably never listen to the show, but that's okay too, because if you're predisposed and don't want to hear this perspective, then I guess our path would never meet anyway, because it's about America. And so when Clint Eastwood talked to this empty chair, and everyone, well, you know, Clint was wrong and he did this and he rumbled on, but America has been rumbling on for 4 years, because they don't see this president as someone who's filling that chair. Whether it be Filipino, whether it be Guamanian, whether it be Chinese descent, or anyone, if other than a white male, apparently not even white females will be welcome. It would still be an empty chair until we do something to speak specifically to these behaviors. That when one party can sit and treat the role of the presidency or the position of a presidency as an open chair, an empty chair, He spoke too fancy, they say. He read from teleprompters, they say. He was the son of an African and a white female, as if that was something nasty. And yet, if we speak about it, we're the black guy with the attitude, when in fact, we are human too, folks. And when we see these things unfold, and some of you might think, I didn't know he was that way. Well, if I can care about the turtles, the dolphins, the whales, the environment, and what happens to anybody, and free them from environmental negative impacts, then I owe it to myself to sometimes stand up and speak out and just don't go along to get along. And while that is the way it is, the empty chair should be a reminder to all of us. And this is, I'm not campaigning for Barack Obama as president. I'm saying to all of you, if in fact you can turn and find entertainment in this empty chair episode with Clint Eastwood, then you might want to check your card as an American as to what we really do in this country, where we come from. We are all immigrants. We're all the sons and daughters of, you ask the average American, and they all tell you, I didn't know there were so many Anglo-Saxons that had Cherokee blood in them. But yet, that's okay. I guess it's the Davy Crockett syndrome. If you can wear a foxtail on your hat and walk around and shoot up the country and what have you, that's okay. But if you go to Harvard and go to college and struggle and become educated and care about people, that's un-American. That's an empty chair. So you might want to think back and say, when we wave goodbye to our soldiers who go abroad to fight for the American way that you and I believe in, what are we telling these people? We struggle to acknowledge them in the voting process here in Hawaii, for example. You take something as menial and as simple as getting Neil Abercrombie, the great liberal, who refuses to acknowledge me as a person, to receive a simple email message to say as a press release that he sent out, you can find him in the garbage can. Why? You look at the manner in which he, Neil Abercrombie, and the Democrats in this state operate a government that is in such disarray. You have homeless, you have hunger, you have crime, you have within government. And yet, you don't see no one's looking at the angry guy, when in fact we're all angry about this process. And what we need to do as people, when Charleston Heston talked about the cold hands, taking the gun from his cold, dead hands, always there's going to be a moment like that. But look at the players. When a man can walk out and tell a joke to an empty chair and equate it to that of the presidency, it's not the angry black guy who needs to speak out. It's all of us who need to check our hearts and check our minds and see, where are we going with this? We didn't want, they talked about one another, they being the Republican Party, when they were running for election and campaigning. One day this guy was on top because, and they didn't want Romney because he was a Mormon and what have you. Yet, this is what we as a country seem to be evolving into. And so I offer those thoughts, and those of you that wish to say sayonara, then I will say I'll see you too. But at some point, we need, as American people, as a country, we seem to have gone down the wrong path where it's okay to stand up and openly talk about it's bad and socialism if we care to hand the man next to us food, or seek medical care, or ask a woman if she's feeling okay and can she get medical care? Can she run for government? Can she become president? All of these things, they're being eroded away. And, yeah, they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars in PAC, both parties. But they're not relying and turning to the people. So an empty chair is just what it is. The presidency for the last 4 years in the mind of many, like Clint Eastwood, has been an empty chair. So anyway, so much for that. And that is right over here at the Chinese Culture Plaza is the angry black guy on radio today telling you, which and really it's not anger. It's just something that at some point, if one wishes to know my experience and my opinion and my participating as a citizen in this country, then someone needs to incorporate my thoughts. Someone needs to respect my perspective. Someone needs to afford myself and others the opportunity. I would love to turn on CNN and see a dark-skinned person. I mean dark-skinned, not a light-skinned black person, an African-American who's been painted up to so that he could be accepted. I would love to see an Asian male sitting there telling us his opinions about these things. I would love to see a Mexican-American sitting there telling us what he thinks about the political issues and the things that we're faced with. Will that ever happen? Probably will be, but it's such a long grind. And when we're all Americans, we look at our armed forces. They go abroad. They fight, and no one treats them like an empty chair. We need them, all of them, all hues, all colors, all shades, sexes, and what have you. So, again, that's what goes on in this situation. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Good morning.
Yes. All righty. This is Marcia, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just sitting here talking and spewing.
Bravo.
So, and it'll probably be an empty chair.
No, keep going. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Even not only with President Obama, but when Hillary Clinton was running in the primary, the meanness with which she was attacked, you know, it was unbelievable that they would go after her, or the way the right, the Republicans, went after Ms. Fluke for even thinking of wanting contraceptive care included in the health care. It's unbelievable, the attack on women. Not just the empty chair.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable. And you're right. We didn't see any... The one thing the Republican convention did was to put all of the non-voting territory people down front. They had Guam, American Samoa, Puerto Rico, Saipan down front, so that the convention didn't look all Anglo-Saxon.
Mm-hmm.
But those people, they don't have a voice. They weren't included in anything.
But I might also add, and this is, I'm very careful so that people understand. I don't care if they think I'm partisan, but I want to be real specific and speak to the truth. The Democrat, let me finish.
It's not about the party. Attitude. I'm agreeing with you. There's
I understand.
Attitude out there.
I understand. Just allow me to finish my sentence.
Yeah.
Okay. My point is that while we can look at the Republican Party, I will bring attention to the Democrat Party that exists, that simply it is the Democrats right here in this state. When we speak about Marianas, the Guamanians, and the Federated States of Micronesia, and the others, Marshallese, that the Democrats are slowly to respond to the funding for the medical care that the people need from the Marshall Islands, for example. You follow? So
absolutely, you are absolutely.
So if we include representation, we will hear their perspective as well. But if when I turn on CNN and I see Don Lemon there, and he's an African-American, but he's light-skinned, but they don't want... So putting anybody in front, while the Republicans, as a strategy, put people of color in front, the Democrats are kicking them in the butt from the back. And there we're seeing more homeless people in this state, yet our governor works with the DHHL, Department of Hawaii and Homelands, which I will be speaking about in this conversation, the dysfunctionality, the manipulation. So who is more evil? The guy who has our trust in the party, or the guy who surrounds himself with a color, a lay of color in the convention to present himself as we should trust him, while the guy that we do trust is already doing it to us?
When we start looking at these votes, numbers represent people and not just numbers. These same people, and yes, I am a part of the Democratic Party, but these same Democrats know how to get elected, but they don't know how to govern. And I think until we start looking at, can this person govern? Yes, we know that that X number of dollars can be raised, and yes, we know how to shake hands and hold signs, but can you govern?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference.
Yeah.
Can you look at the people from the Marshall Islands and know the history and know what the Americans did to those people and why we have an obligation to them?
But
can you look at me and know what has happened?
Well, what?
I think you're right.
I can tell you I'm right. When I don't see the representation time and time and time again, it's time for someone to say, you know, enough is enough. And if we are a democracy, and if we are the Democratic Party, is selling us this line of bull that they're for all people, let's stand back and ask. Why? When have you seen an African American appointed by this liberal guy called Neil Abercrombie as governor? When did he? And look at how he's the dysfunctionality of the Department of Hawaii and Homeland people, and I'll point out, it's still yet a deputy running the place, and they're fighting it over the position while all kinds of things are occurring within that agency that does not benefit and speak to the quality of life that is meant for the native people. How can we continue to trust that process?
And I think, first and foremost, that there is an obligation to the Hawaiians, and if, now, you know the inside, I don't, and I want to hear what you have to say about that. I'm looking forward to that. But if the people that are Hawaiian, that are in place to do what is pono for the Hawaiians, and they are not doing that, that is a sin. That is beyond some kind of criminal.
Right.
I mean, if you can't do right by your own people, especially what the Hawaiians have been, the degradation to which they have suffered, that is beyond. I want to hear what you have to say about
Hawaii. They wouldn't hire Pono, because Pono is Pono, and so they'll hire Carol Kimo Cox, you know, and then call me Kimo, and then I'll sit there and serve the Democratic Party. But putting a real person, that a Hawaiian person that's going to stick to his values and stick to the real issues and move this ball forward on behalf of the people, because that is the intent of the Department of Hawaiian Homeland, and in turn the OHAs, they in turn won't hire that kind of person. They will hire one that will sell his soul to the devil. And so anyway, with this, give you just some examples. Recently, in the news just yesterday, former Senator Melody Aduha, well, I can call the senator, because if we call the president, who's former president.
Yeah, no, it's...
So,
it is.
Senator Melody Aduha took some pictures yesterday over at Kaneohe Marine Base. And there was this humongous plume of black smoke. Well, I've been working on this and many issues over there at the Kaneohe Marine Base. And again now, this speaks to government and the Democrat that says we should trust him and ignore the Republican. So here is Dear Captain George, this is a letter from the State Health Department under Neil Abercrombie. And it says here, the Department of Health Clean Air Branch received your letter requesting approval to conduct special effects displays to simulate bomb blasts and fires at the Kaneohe Bay Air Show on September 29th and 30th, 2012, at the Marine Base. The DOH regulates air pollution-related activities such as smoke from open burning. Since the fire simulation and smokers shorten duration and control, the impact on their quality should be minimal. It has been determined that no permits from the DOH will be required for the air show activities. So, but they, this is their letter. Now, here's what the federal government says in their application, the Marine Base said. Well, first of all, they're going to be using special effects to simulate bomb blasts and fires will be accomplished by detonating TNT and igniting 4,000 gallons of MoGas, of which are listed in the attachment. Now, remind you, in their application, this is what they say. In item 4A, upon consideration of potential impacts on the environment, it is determined that the proposed action, underscored, will not result in emissions to the atmosphere from combustion of fossil fuels or generate fugitive dust. Now, again, this is the... While they say, look at Clint Eastwood, he had that open seat. But this is what the Democrats will allow under their watch and yet point the finger. But guess what? We all are impacted, red, green, black, blue, whatever hue you are. And we need to stand up now and just say enough is enough. We're tired of the lies. And, in fact, if there's one empty chair, then all of our chairs are empty because we don't matter. That's the way I see it with this process. You have comments?
So they did do that? Is that what
you're
saying?
Yeah, they blew up. And then, remember, their permits, they spoke, say they're going to be doing it on the 29th and the 30th. But they didn't say they're going to be practicing two times with, was it the equivalent? But if you, we posted some of the pictures up. On thanks to Senator Duha, we post the pictures up on carolcox.com, and just look at them, and you'll see that the smoke is there, and completely, just that one item where it says there will be no emissions to the air. So this is how ridiculous it is. This is the same thing that the same military that Mazie Hirono, time and time again with the Osprey, and she's never stood up, and Daniel Inouye and Neil Abercrombie and Senator Kaka, they all brought this here while ignoring the people as saying, no, they don't want this. So, again, is it Democrat or is it Republican that sees the empty chair? Or do politicians simply see us as occupying an empty chair?
Well, yes, because, again, they're into numbers because it's the numbers that get them elected. And how many times you can hold signs and how many times and, you know, all of that stuff to get elected. Now, once they are elected, unlike the rest of us, they have health care. And unlike the rest of us, they have a salary whether they do good or not. Mm-hmm. If you're in the private industry and you don't perform, you don't have a job. But if you are elected to an office and you don't perform, you get reelected.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, they see us as an empty chair. Yes, they only see us as the numbers to get them elected.
Well, we have a situation when we go, the politicians or the Democrats, we notice they partner up with the unions. And yet they talk about big business taking over the Republican Party, but it has come, there's this hybrid of a type of an animal now that the Democrats partner with the union guys, and then we look to see what the union leaders are making. We scream about the Republicans participating in, with CEOs that make millions, Yet we see within unions, the Democrats have partnered up with individuals that make a million or more for salaries annually. How can that be when they're just sitting there? Do they deserve that much when there are union members that can't get a job and standing in line and getting food stamps or whatever, or just being homeless? That's the empty seat syndrome.
Yeah. Yes.
So, you know, I just...
No, you're absolutely correct.
Seize that opportunity, this opportunity. And again, it seems to be the Democrat, and this is my views now, in my opinion, so you can inject, or those of you out there, you can introduce something else. But it just seems there's this niche that the Democrats have built that's conducive to getting results in an election that they can predict.
Well,
they can predict that certain individuals are going to win. They know the game. And if you don't enhance voting, you don't enhance outreaching for voting and registration and being accessible and encouraging people, because the more people you encourage, the less control, and it may be diluted. Your strategy may be diluted. And I think that my observation for the last 22 years being here is just that. The Democrats, do not wish to dilute the pool of voters that they can pretty much predict the outcome.
Well, yes, you're right. And let's go back to the union. I don't have a clue what the union bosses are being paid, so you're probably right. Anyway, what we have with, and you knew Fannie Lou Hamer and how they actually broke open the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party didn't say, y'all come. Make no mistake about it. They didn't want blacks. They didn't want women. They didn't want brown people. It was when they broke down the door and barged into the party that things changed. So now, and then again, in the 1950s, when the 442nd came back from the war, how they took over the Democratic Party. So what has happened in those years is that we have grown fat, dumb, and happy, and have taken this for granted, have no idea what those people went through to even look like some semblance of democracy. And now you have people that take, like you said, take it for granted. No, we're going to win. It's a foregone conclusion, blah, 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 and have no idea
what their
parents and grandparents went through to get to this point.
Yeah, and again, no one's going to stand behind them and replay the movie for them. So my purpose is to speak about the movie that's being made. And while I can draw on the old movie, it's the new things that are occurring and taking people, and I could spend the next 6 hours laying out how the Democratic Party is simply has betrayed, and yet tell you, watch out for the Republicans. And again, now, don't go away thinking I'm advocating for the Republicans. They've done their share of dirt and nastiness when I see how they have stood back and watch what is said about Barack Obama and the president, the role of the president. So I'm not forgiving on either way, but it's time that someone just call it what it is. And I'm tired of seeing the mealy-mouthed people go, oh, yeah, but I don't think it's that. Do you think it's this? Well, I don't know. I've not heard any of the other opinions advanced publicly because for some reason we look at the local media and we see the makeup of that. We look at the national media and we look at the makeup of that.
Well, I think, Carol, that what we have now, I'm sure that there will be some media people that have been out of shape with me. But what we have is the lowest common denominator. The people that you see don't get paid much. And so most of which do not know the history. They don't do the research that you do. So when an issue comes up, they take it at face value. They do not know that this came from this, that this came from this, and where this all started. All they see is the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see the bottom. They don't know history. They don't have memories.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in their 20s.
Right.
They don't know anything about this.
Well, some do. But
that's
again,
very few and far between.
Yeah, but in the bigger picture, the looking at the mechanics and what is occurring as we speak, you know, let's take the Department of Hawaii and Homeland. I've spoken about this a while, and there's a development at Nanakuli in the Nanakuli Hawaiian Homestead, and this land is being developed by the Nanakuli Hawaiian Homestead Association, the Nanakuli Hawaiian Homestead Community Association. And so what I found when I initially started looking into this, what I found was that they were representing, and the information that I got was, it was the Department of Hawaiian Homeland. I hadn't seen a document, but what was told to me by some of the people, Hawaiian Homelands was making this development. Well, as some of you may recall, I've found that it is not the Hawaiian Homeland developing it. It is a nonprofit, which is the Nanakuli Hawaiian Homestead Community Association. And also the quote, what was said with the consulting firm that is helping us develop this, is the Hawaiian Community Development Board. So I went to look to see, and the name Collie Watson was there, and I've spoken to Collie on some other matters where there was some contaminants on soil that he had in an area that he was renting, had rent lease from DHHL, and in turn, remember, he was the director at one time of DHHL, so I talked to him, and he agreed that the person that was leasing the property or renting from him needed to clean his act up, and he would take care of it. And the guy's still there. Just yesterday I checked, and he's still there. But I look at the Hawaiian Community Development Board. Their agent is Collie Watson. Now, what was told to me originally was DHHL developing this land, and DHHL has denied that they're not developing. So that Hawaiian Community Development Board is their agent for that as of 2008. Was Collie Watson, and he's on that board, and there's another gentleman named Apoliona Francis. Now, Francis works for the DHHL as an employee, but he also served on this community board, but he stepped down because of, I spoke to him, because it was kind of a conflict of interest. And then there is Michelle Kauhani Taka, who is the deputy director of acting, I guess, for the DHHL, and who is vying now to take over, I'm told, as a director. There's some big debate because the people that involve closely with the development, Nanakuli, do not like the one that is acting director. So you take those names, and then you have, there's Fern Dennis, and then on this Nanakuli Homestead Board, and I know it's confusing, but the Nanakuli Hawaiian Homestead Community is Michael Kahakina, who serves on that board, but he also serves on the Hawaiian Community Development Board. So when you look below the first layer, you learn that it is not DHHL, as some have been representing, and it is not just simply a innocuous consulting company. It is the same people in bed with one another that is moving forward to develop this and sharing the same roles in the same organizations. So now I have tried to get documents and what have you from the DHHL. And what happens is simple. They have done everything to thwart it. Michelle Kauhani ignores all of my phone calls. And I was compelled to go there in person and deliver it, and I was met with resistance there and had to explain why I thought I had a right to public records. So, again, what does this mean? If I, as an individual who have some knowledge and I'm going to disseminate the information that I get back to the people or the beneficiaries of this program, if I'm thwarted or being denied, imagine what the Neil Abercrombie administration is doing to the native people or the individual who just wants to advance himself as he is entitled to. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Thank you for taking my call. My name is Richard. You or I am an old white curmudgeon.
We both are?
Pardon me?
We both are?
No,
I'm teasing, Richard. Go ahead.
And I share you, a black man, Carol Cox, I share the substance of what you're saying. I was a Democrat until 1970. Not now. I'm an independent. Call me liberal, call me progressive, but I'm not a Democrat. Locally, it's absolutely, I don't want to sound professorial, but I guess that's my tone. Locally, the mayoral election, you vote for Caldwell, you get the rail. You vote for Cayetano, no rail. Where's the public? In the vote. If Cayetano wins, he has to go to the city council, and he has to stop the rail. And if the city council isn't going to help him stop the rail, then he's got to go to the public. Here's the public again. And I'm not going to bring up Nestor Garcia, but it's, for me, simply all up to the public vote. You must have, whatever your opinion, you must have an educated vote. If you've been educated for the rail and you want the rail and the rail will benefit you, heavy wheel on steel rail, vote. If you're against it, then vote against it. But you must educate yourself, professorial again, sorry. You must educate yourself and cast a vote. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Richard. What we have going on amongst us is a silent debate that actually exists. What I'm talking about now occurs every day, but people are afraid. Supposedly this was a democracy, but they're afraid if they speak, as I have just in the last 25 minutes, to identify the subject matter of the angry black guy, something's wrong with that. And isn't it funny that the N-word, we have been conditioned to avoid the N-word when we didn't invent the N-word, didn't use the N-word, but we know the origin of the N-word and how it was applied. But all of a sudden, and I mean, I frequently use the term for the purpose of conversing with others that seem to be shy. And what I will tell you is that it is a very interesting strategy to have inflicted such injury on people and shouting such terms, and then in the, quote, modern ages, because we're all colorless, colorblind, we don't use that word. But look at around you. You can't assemble that many Anglo-Saxon people in one room, in one gathering from around the nation to beat up on this single person that is a mixed heritage and dismiss him. And then say, oh, we're going to take our country back. And all that I hear, I don't see a single Democrat at their party to speak out of. They were fancy. They told us about arithmetic. But why didn't I hear? What do you mean, folks, that you're going to take back our country? Take it from whom? The Mexican American? The African American? The Chinese American, the Japanese American, the gay American, the non-believers or the non-religious Americans, who are you taking it from?
Yes, and I agree that the reason why I question Obama is, one, because of health care, single payer and public option. I think he reneged on that responsibility.
Right.
Secondly, because of his fiscal attitude towards Wall Street. I question what he is doing.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't because of his race. It's because of his political attitude and the way in which he's conducted
right.
his past campaign. I disagree. When I think he could have done much better with a more progressive campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And it, locally, people have to vote because, okay, they vote and we get steel wheel on steel rail. Then that is what you voted for, and this is a democracy, and that's the way it is.
Right.
But there is a way to stop it. It is the most horrific agenda in the history of the state.
Right.
They're stealing your money. The general excise tax Why do they have to float all these bonds if you had a sound financial plan? Why do they take 5307 if they have a sound financial plan? Why do they float C paper if they have a sound financial plan? They don't have a financial plan, and they don't have a plan.
Yeah, well, understand this. While we've discussed that and hatched that, these are issues that I'm speaking of. When I sit here and talk about the empty chair approach, you must understand, I accept and acknowledge that while I speak in the vein that I do about Barack Obama, don't dismiss this common thread that we have. He is part of the Democratic Party. I didn't dismiss him completely and sit here to pretend to protect him as an individual. What I'm saying is that when you just start to throw dirt, that's a different subject, you see. When Barack Obama is from Chicago, politics, that would be the equivalent of someone telling me this guy's from Hawaii's politics because they are questionable in their behavior. Do they really care about people? Barack Obama, is coached and counseled not to come across and speak to subjects openly about and come off as the angry black guy or speak out. He speak out against the gay issues, anti-gay issues, when Mr. Biden spoke out. So these are the things that I'm talking about. As far as the rail, it's a product of, again, it was the Democrats and Lingle who signed and agreed with the Democrats. So this is a more hearty of a substance and subject that I'm speaking about, is to ask, to beg these questions.
Well, Carol, can I interject something here? This is Marcia. And you mentioned that about the people spoke when they voted about the rail on steel on rail, which is an 18th century technology in a 21st century, which makes no sense. But the question on the ballot, in fact, the question to the voters was never, do you want rail?
Yeah. Well, we
never voted on that issue. This was a sleight of hand, and yes, it was Democrats. This was a sleight of hand. They said, do you want this kind of rail or that kind of rail?
Right.
Never, the question was never put to the voters, do you want rail?
Yeah.
And that is the real issue. That is
on the real issue on what? Now, I'm not discussing rail.
I'm back to the... to what your other caller said about this whole Shibai.
Constantly,
just this issue, but your Hawaiian homes issue. Do they have the right to use this land in the way they're using it? Does it benefit the Hawaiians? You know, constant Shibai.
Yeah. Well, my point is that while it may be a big lie, It serves to rob the beneficiaries of and complicate their right to use the land in the future. For example, I raise the issue of how would Abercrombie allow such leases to occur under his administration or anyone else that would allow it to be leased out by a nonprofit who would then in turn go and rent it out because they take federal monies and subjecting themselves and their programs to the rules of the road. That's Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. You cannot discriminate. So how does an administration allow that in the first place? Why wouldn't that be a criteria to prevent such jeopardization of and jeopardizing the integrity and the intent of the Department of Hawaiian Homeland and what have you, or the homelands that the people have been hard fought to obtain? So these are the issues. As far as the rail, I can sum it up, and that is my very point. We are being manipulated by the party that's supposed to love us. When I look at a Democratic picture, I see a bunch of young people of color sitting on the laps of a person, a white male, that tells me that he loves me. But on the other hand, look across the aisle, and they remind me that one does not love me. This is what this conversation is about. I'm not trying to decide if we
use rubber on rubber
and steel on steel. I don't want anybody to
miss
that
you're
point.
Absolutely correct. And what we see is not only the rail, because that one is a big one in front of us, but exactly what you're saying about the Hawaiians. And because it is the Hawaiian homeland, and it doesn't make the front pages of the paper, it is a very subtle thing, and nobody's really paying attention. And other than you and me, who knows what Title VI is?
There are people out there. They know, Marcia. It's just the system doesn't lend itself to...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
The people are not given the opportunity or the ear or the commitment or the conviction of the individuals in the party to...
I can't hear you.
Well, I don't know what the problem is there, but anyway... This is what the problem is. We as a people need to define our role, not allow others now to define our role in this process. We've been taken away and then given certain parameters that we can speak on and then eliminated from the process of just giving our personal opinions. No one wants to hear what we think or feel. How is it impacting us? They will speak for us on both sides of the aisle. You look at the Green Party, some say Ron Paul. But when you look at the composition, is it all inclusive? Does it include us all? Does either party? So these are the real issues with politics and people. And unless we change it, and when we get a reminder such as Clint Eastwood to show up and talk to an empty chair, and I'm not defending the Barack Obama. See, there's a bigger thing here involving. It's about the betterment of America. When he wins, we win. When he does not act accordingly and act from a Democratic Party perspective, then we lose as if we lose like the Republicans would treat us. So that's all I'm saying. We need to be open about it and honest about it and call I saw Neil Abercrombie. We got issues here that needs to be addressed, but he went abroad to go to the convention and participate, to hold a sign up and show us all 32. And yet we have more than 32 problems that are very pressing that we could have dealt with, needed his mind here and not there. So anyway, I thank all of you for joining me. And again, for those of you that are predisposed that when a African-American man speaks out, he's an angry black man, then we have nothing in common anyway, because I'm an American, and I'm just giving you my perspective. And it's heartfelt, and it's also because I've walked in my moccasins for some 59 years, and I didn't see many of you walking along abreast of me. So anyway, that is the way it is, and I'll talk to you next week. And in fact, we're going to have Bruce Wilson from Washington, D.C. area, or Boston. He's been on the show before, and we're going to be talking about Linda Lingle and her involvement in the religious involvement here and many other things. And we're going to be asking these questions. And it's time for all parties to step aside and let women speak for themselves. We don't need some guy that goes golfing every day and smokes a cigar in the evening and drinks some heavy, good whiskey and then make decisions for women. We all need to make our own decisions, and we have the choice by getting involved in voting. So talk to you later. See you next week.